We're going to open up a can of worms today here on the Line of Fire, but hey, somebody's got to talk about it. Are racial tensions rising in America today? If so, why? And what can we do about it?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, this is going to be a very interesting broadcast, and it's a broadcast where I really want to hear from you, and we are going to navigate our way through a minefield, but we must, in particular as followers of Jesus, in particular as those who are committed to be with him, regardless of our ethnicity, regardless of our race, regardless of our background, we find unity in him and love and affirmation in him. So, we are going to talk about race issues today on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire or go right to Facebook, where I've already put this question online, already getting responses. Do you believe there are rising racial tensions within America today? If so, why? Please be candid, but do not post anything that violates Christian decorum. Thanks. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay. Let's put the cards on the table, shall we? As mature men and women, those here who are not mature men and women, we'll do our best to coax you into maturity. Some of you who are listening do not share my Christian beliefs, my beliefs as a Jewish follower of Jesus. You are more than welcome to call in with your perspective. However, we conduct ourselves with a certain decorum here on the broadcast, and we're not going to be bashing people in unseemly ways of any race, of any color, of any background, but we're going to talk honestly. And to the extent that you can relate directly to my question, to the extent that you represent some of the groups of people that I'm talking about, all the more is your perspective helpful, all right? So this is going to be very constructive. This is going to be helpful. This is going to be positive, but we're going to open up a can of worms. Shall we start? Okay. I can't help but notice in the news what everyone sees. First, rioting all over the world. Okay, that's understood. It's a time of unusual unrest, from riots in the Muslim world to riots in Europe because of the economy, to riots, or at least protests, I should say, mass protests in Israel because of economic situations, housing, other issues. So that's obvious. It's also obvious that there are many reports of racially related instances. For example, black youth attacking white attendees at some fair out west. People said it was absolutely racial. They were running over to cars with white people, pulling people out, beating them, so on. Then, a case in Mississippi, thought these days were past, where a few white teenagers, and this was not a large gang thing, but a few white teenagers decide they're going to go into Mississippi and find, of course, use a disparaging word, use the N-word, find some black people and attack them. And they end up beating one guy and then running him over and killing him. White's killing a black person. It seems to me that tensions, racial tensions, are rising. Now, is it simply a result of economic pressure? And because of this economic pressure, things are getting worse and worse, and everything's exploding. Is it just another picture of degradation, in our culture as a whole? Degradation in our culture as a whole, so that we have this. Just everything negative is rising. Could it be further breakdowns in the family? Now, if you have not heard what the mayor of Philadelphia, a black man, said in a black church recently, you need to hear this. But what's going on? And I thought with President Obama coming into power that we'd have removal of racial tensions. Okay, that's what some say. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what's behind the rioting in our inner cities? I mean, a lot of it is not economically related, in my view, because the economy has not affected things that radically. There hasn't been that radical difference. There was there are all the problems before. Why the rising tension now? And some of this is not race related. Some is race related. And I said at the outset of the program, there are instances of blacks attacking whites, whites attacking blacks. It seems to me that tensions are rising here in America. Question is why? And then as believers, what can we do about it? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Okay, I'm going to play some clips from the mayor of Philadelphia in a moment. But I'm just putting everything on the table today, and then I want to get to your calls, starting with Denise in Harlem. So I'm going to put everything out here, all right? And those of you that have been listening to me for a while, you know me well enough. Those who are brand new, you're going to be thinking, whoa, he's risking. No, I'm not risking anything because I am who I am. And I get called a lot of things. I get attacked for a lot of things. But people who know me know who I really am. So let the chips fall where they may, all right? A few things to put on the table here. when I was on the radio back in 2008, and this was leading up to the presidential elections, I remember, and I was at that time just starting my daily broadcast. It had been a few months. I'd been on weekly, then went to daily. And I was wanting to weigh in on the political issues, but as always, from a kingdom perspective. In other words, I was not going to weigh in from a perspective of Republican, Democrat, but try to look at this from a kingdom perspective. And I remember taking issue with something that Senator John McCain said. So I took issue with that, okay? Then, some days later, I took issue with something Senator Obama said. And not long after that, I got a call, and I'm white, I got a call from a black listener who said, why do you keep bringing up race? I said, what do you mean, bringing up race? And the caller said to me, well, all you do is attack Barack Obama. I said, what? I said, I took issue with a couple things he said. I took issue first with something Senator McCain said. I wasn't attacking him because he was white or Barack Obama because he was black. I mean, the thought wouldn't have occurred to me. And I said, well, actually, though, I said, you know, I like a lot of things Senator Alan Keyes said, former Senator Alan Keyes. I said, he's black. I said, and I don't agree with a lot of what Hillary Clinton says, but I like a lot of what Sarah Palin says. They're both women. I said, so race is not the issue. Male, female is not the issue. The issues are the issues. So I thought this is fascinating because it came up more than once. And I thought, wow, I've been called a lot of things, but no one's ever accused me of pulling a race card or making race an issue. God forbid. I mean, I work with people around the world. I've got dear friends of different color and, you know, different ethnicity around the world and throughout America. I mean, who thinks of these things? So anyway, I thought, okay, I got to watch this carefully and see what I can do to be of help rather than just say you're wrong. I thought, what can I do to be constructive and how can I better understand someone else's mindset? Now, I was working out in a local gym, and one day a week there was a fellow that would train with me and just take me through some exercises. And he happened to be a black man. We had lots of great conversations. He was in his mid-30s. And when Mr. Obama was elected, I did not vote for Barack Obama because of his stance primarily on abortion and homosexual issues. I radically opposed his stance and his issues. So on a moral level, I couldn't vote for him. But I really wanted to vote for a black man to be president of the United States. I thought, what a great day that would be for America. What a great testimony that would be to the world. What a great privilege it would do to cast that, a privilege it would be for me to cast that vote. I just couldn't in good conscience. I wasn't particularly enthused with Senator McCain either, but that was the way I went. Okay. I talked to this fellow I worked out with named Andre, and he was in his mid-30s. And I said, hey, what does this mean to you and your kids? He said, man, I never thought this would happen in my lifetime, that we'd have a black president. So I was able to rejoice with him, and I hoped that I would be wrong about Mr. Obama, okay? I hoped, and I still pray, that God would get hold of him in such a way to make him the greatest president in American history. I hoped I would be wrong on the moral issues. Sadly, I wasn't wrong, and perhaps he's even been more radical than expected, at least as radical as expected. But here's the concern, and I put it forward. I said, look, if he is the wrong man for the job, rather than helping ease racial tensions in America, it's only going to make them worse. That was a concern I had. Now, I'm looking at what's happening all over the place. I'm looking at breakdowns in white family, black family, Hispanic family. I'm looking at the fact that Hispanic immigrants, once they're in America in the second generation, are losing a lot of their strong family values and are following suit of a lot of the American families in terms of the breakdown of the family and problems with the young people, etc. This is not a one race issue. This is not a one ethnicity issue. This is a larger issue. The question is, what is happening and why? And you may totally differ with me. You may think none of this has anything to do with race. You may think none of the rioting going on, none of these problems have anything to do with that. There are other issues. Fine, that's what I want to talk about. I want to get your perspective. 866-34-TRUTH. So again, do you believe racial tensions are rising in America? If so, why? What can we do about it? Now, you may not have an answer to to the second and third questions. You may just say yes or no that racial tensions are rising. But before the show's over, I want to talk about what we can do. So there is rioting in Philadelphia, and the mayor, black mayor, Mayor Nutter, a colleague of President Obama, strong supporter of Mr. Obama, got up in his church, a Baptist church, and addressed some issues very forthrightly. Now, let me just say this, and I'm going to play the first clip, clip number one to start, and then we'll go to the phones. I do find it interesting, very interesting, that when a white Republican does something like a public prayer meeting or addresses issues in a church, everyone gets all upset and says, separation of church and state. When a black Democrat does something in a church, no one bats an eyelash. I just find that interesting. I find it interesting. And by the way, I am not a white Republican, just to make that clear. I'm not registered with either party. I don't put my trust in either party. If I would, listen to me. When I vote based on moral issues and person's leadership, okay? And if the person was Jewish, that wouldn't make it positive or negative. If they were white, it wouldn't make it positive or negative. If they were black or Hispanic or Asian, it wouldn't make it positive or negative. And I hope that's your heart as well. I hope so. But let's just listen to the first clip from Mayor Nutter. Preach it, man.
The Immaculate Conception of our Lord Jesus Christ took place a long time ago. And it didn't happen here in Philadelphia. So every one of these kids has two parents who were around and participating at the time. They need to be around now.
Ooh, boy, strong words. Is it? How do we get to this situation anyway where the mayor even needs to be addressing these things? Hey, let's talk straight. Let's be constructive. Be as honest with me as you can be. Feel free to fully agree or disagree with me. That's why we're having this conversation. Starting with Denise in Harlem, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Hello, Brown.
Hello.
Hi, I'm good. How about you?
Doing very well, thanks.
Well, concerning this racial issue, I think that racial issues are just undercover, that they were always there. However, some over the time, people have learned how to do the racial thing under current.
Mm-hmm.
There's different ways now that they say they don't like this one, don't like the other one. They join groups and that are persuaded by the issues that direct their lives and stuff like that. I'm a Christian. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is the one who directs the lives of the people. However, mm-hmm. a lot of the people who are so very racist may not be Christians or may be Christians who are walking in the flesh and have not learned how to walk in the Spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who straightens out those issues. He is the one who brings them home to your face. He is the one who deals with you in a personal level to change issues that you have along life's way.
So let me just jump in. Okay, just real quick, because we've got a break coming up. Why is it surfacing more now?
I think the enemy has released a spirit over the cities. We're coming to the last days. The enemy is punching below the belt. I believe that the spirit of murder, the spirit of hostility, the spirit of racism, so much has been released over the cities. And we are not, as Christians, effectively going into intercession to fight the spiritual
realm. All right. So the enemy, the tensions have always been there under the surface. We haven't really dealt with them. The enemy's on the attack, and we are not fighting spiritual battles spiritually. Hey, thank you for weighing in, Denise. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I can't help reading the news just to see reports of racial tensions rising, of rioting that seems to be black on white or white on black or whatever it is. I can't seem to avoid the fact that there's something simmering. I've felt it for some time under the surface. It's coming to the surface now. Is it just part of the larger cultural unrest? Is it part of the same stirring, be it demonic stirring, that's taking place in many different countries, some regarding economy, some regarding race, some regarding religious issues, and so on? How do we explain it? 866-34-TRUTH. And again, before the show's over, I will give some very, very simple constructive thoughts. But my first constructive thought is we need to be open and talk honestly with each other. For example, for me, as a white Jewish American, it's been helpful to talk to, it's been very helpful to talk to black Americans who vote differently than I vote and who love the Lord. And then, of course, I talk to black Americans who vote just as I vote and who love the Lord, and white Americans who vote differently than I vote and love the Lord. So it's good to talk and hear each other rather than just, well, I got this point. How could you? No, it's very good to talk to each other and listen and learn from each other and perhaps help one another with blind spots. It's an important place to start. Doris in Houston, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Pastor, first and foremost. I'd like to say I agree with what you said and touching bases on it, that one should not vote for an individual or candidate because they're black or because they're white. They should vote for what they stand for, because when they vote, their rules and laws are going to govern our life. My view on the racism issue is, I believe personally, when they took prayer and the Lord out of school is when it all started a trickling domino effect downhill. Also, it starts at home with the parenting. When you have young parents with no structure, no guidance themselves, trying to teach or lead, how can they lead if they haven't been taught themselves?
Got it. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And of course, the spiritual implications with prayer taken out of public schools, even if that was symbolic more than anything, we have had national decline in so many major issues since then. Hey, thank you for...
So many areas.
Excuse me?
I said in so many areas where churches and religion used to be prevalent, it's no more. And it's almost as if, though, being a Christian, you don't have any rights.
Yes, ma'am. Yep. Or the Christianity that the nation accepts is a watered-down sentimental Christianity that has no moral absolutes. Hey, thank you for weighing in. Appreciate it. Hey, Joey, let's play clip number two. This is Mayor Nutter from Philadelphia in a Baptist church this weekend.
Parents who neglect their children, who don't know where they are, don't know what they're doing, don't know who they're hanging out with, you're going to find yourself spending some quality time with your kids in jail. If you're just hanging out there, maybe you're sending a check or bringing some cash by. That's not being a father. You're just a human ATM. You're just an ATM. And if you're not providing the guidance,
and you're not sending any money. You're just a sperm donor.
All right, strong words from the mayor of Philadelphia. Now, he is speaking as a black man to black constituents dealing with riots that happen to be happening in black neighborhoods. How much of what he was saying would apply to white families just the same? All right, there are a couple separate issues. There's the issue of breakdown of the family across our culture. There's the issue of violence, white against black against white, that we're seeing in increasing measure in America. Is it just because people are upset and angry in general in the culture? So when you have that, all the other junk surfaces? Is it that simple? John, where, you know, I'm not clear on my board here. Where are you located, sir?
I'm in Maryland.
Maryland. Okay, because it looked like Maryland, Massachusetts, and I thought there's no such place as Maryland, Massachusetts. All right. Thanks for calling, John. You're on the line
Thank
of fire.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown.
Sure thing.
I have thought about this issue quite a bit, and it occurs to me that the problem often is, you know, it's hard to get to the root of it, and I really believe that the root is involved with government and specifically Marxism and these types of views. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the whole concept of race is a Darwinian concept that was taken by the Marxists and used to divide us. And the left and the Marxists used all forms of division, including race, to divide us. And I think that we are one body of Christ as Christians, and beyond that, we're one body of humanity. And I think once we allow ourselves to be divided into groups, we fall prey to these people. And as far as Nutter goes up in Pennsylvania, you know, I mean, what business is it of a mayor or a government representative of any kind to be telling people how to raise their children? I mean, even if what he says sounds right and sounds good, it's not his job to tell anybody how to be a father, how to raise their children.
Well, so, shouldn't he? Well, I'll tell you what, John, we've got a break coming up, but
okay.
you raise a great issue that I
Thanks.
Definitely want to take up either in the next half hour or in another broadcast, which is what right does a public figure have or not have? But for me, if you just remember, especially in the black community, that someone who is either a pastor, a bishop, or a politician, or they have a public respected role, they really do have kind of a fatherly role in terms of speaking to the community. So I was personally pleased that he did it. Now, he did it in the church service at his home church, as opposed to doing it at a press. Yeah, he did it there as opposed to a press conference. But it's a great question. Did he have the right to or not? I was thrilled to hear it, but you raised a good question. All right. Hey, everybody, hang on the phones. We'll get to all of your calls on the other side of the break. Another reminder to all of our friends in Washington, D.C., listening on WAVA. You'll be checking out on the FM station momentarily. However, you can listen to all 2 hours of the broadcast on the AM station, WAVA AM, from 6 to 8 p.m. So always want to remind our friends in D.C. Later in the afternoon, we'll actually be picking up our listeners in Philadelphia. They get another part of the broadcast. So by all means, I want to hear what they have to say about Mayor Nutter's comments. That'll be later today. You can catch all of it on our website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire, and later in the day, you can listen to both hours of broadcasting. Remember, we've got a really important, edifying resource at a very inexpensive price. We need the prophetic word today. We need to know what God is saying. We need the heart and mind of God like never before. As God's people, we need to be a prophetic voice to society. And I have a teaching series on prophets and prophetic ministry where you get the heart, the mind, the burden of the prophet, your blood burning with the fire of the prophets, and then from there, a message for this generation. It's 15 hours of teaching, just $15 on one CD for your computer MP3 player. It will pay the postage, so we've reduced the price, and we'll cover the postage. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. Some of the most effective teaching I've ever done that's edified and helped a lot of folks by God's grace. 1-800-278-9978. Prophets and Prophetic Ministry. One more time. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today as we talk through this difficult issue of racial tension rising in America. To me, it's very clear. I've got four constructive points that I will get to. Four constructive points in terms of what we can do to move forward. To get my questions for you, do you feel that racial tension is rising in America? That's number one. Number two, if so, why? And number three, what can we do about it? The what can we do about it, I'm happy to hear from you, but I'm going to weigh in on that later in the broadcast. What I really want to get your perspective on is, do you feel racial tensions are rising? If so, why? 866-34-TRUTH. And again, my perspective is, I want to hear from you, okay? You can completely differ with me. I want to get your perspective. You can agree with me, but have a perspective I don't have. My point in doing this broadcast is not to put forth my point of view, but to put forth a topic for discussion and then give you my constructive suggestions at the end as to how we can move forward. The only thing I feel quite sure about is that tensions are rising. Now, you can agree with me, and you could disagree with me. I feel very strongly about that, but I'm very happy to get all kinds of different perspectives and for any of you to tell me if you think I have a blind spot, because my goal is to glorify Jesus, help God's people, and touch a dying world, period. Period. All right, Quincy in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how are you doing there?
Doing very well, sir. Thank you.
Good. Look, I'm really thankful for you this time to give a weigh in on what you're saying. Unfortunately, yeah, I believe it is a rise in the racial thing. And I think what Christians that have been born again have to realize, when you're born again, you are born in the family of God, and your race becomes, or your nationality becomes second. Or I believe that you'll follow, if we were to follow the principle of Jesus, talking to us about loving each other, then you look at the picture saying, first of all, I'm a Christian first before I am a black man or a white man or a Jewish man or whatever your ethnic background is. That right there is a strong pull. If everybody look at that first and say, okay, what would Jesus do? Which is a cliche, but is a very strong thing as far as weighing in on what you should do as a Christian. You know, do I do it for my ethnic group, or do I do it for what the Lord has died for me to do?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is really something. Now, earlier I just said that, you know, you said something about Obama, you voted for him, you didn't vote for him because of the certain issues of abortion and gay rights. But
yep.
Also, I hope I heard you clear. But
yes, you did.
I was saying to some of the people that I know that I voted for Obama, I am a Christian, but I also looked at the Bush administration, where they were using an abomination of things like the unjust scales, which God definitely detests and hates,
mm-hmm.
The lies that were told. And when I look at the weighing of the two evils, I'm like, wow, it's like, you know, God, which way should I go with this? And, you know, and of course, that's our freedom of choice, is to pick who we want to pick.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people forget that the usury and unbalanced scales, God hates that. He detests that. And the way the country was overcharging and overpricing and doing all the unbalanced scales was just one of those things I think a lot of black communities looked at and said, wow, this is crazy. We're not getting anywhere. But like I say, first of all, I think we should act mm-hmm. as a Christian. Then your ethnic group can be a complement, but it can't be the main force of driving or telling other how to live.
Yeah, and Quincy, let me just jump in and say this, because got a break coming up. And thanks for weighing in. I have a friend based in the D.C. area, Bishop Harry Jackson. So he's a black pastor, respected leader. And he's appealed to he's been voting for certain Republican candidates, which is against the normal grain. And he said, look, we've had a good heart for justice, meaning larger social justice issues, but we've missed the righteousness side. And then on the white side, they've gone for righteousness issues and missed justice issues. That's how he's put it out there for people to think about. Hey, thanks for the call. Back with your calls. Hang in there, folks. We will get to you next.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I'm looking at our board here with our callers, and okay, Kathy just broke the cycle, but we had John and Joe and John and Joe, and anyway, I just thought that was cute. Okay, Michael Brown, not John, not Joe, not Kathy. Delighted to be with you today. Putting on the table the question of rising racial tensions here in America. To me, they are here. To me, we have some real problems. The question is, why are the tensions rising? And what can we do as believers to move forward with a godly answer, with godly solutions? 866-34-TRUTH. You know, these quotes from Mayor Nutter of Philadelphia, which not dealing so much with racial issues of black versus white or white versus black or Hispanic versus Asian, but just issues within his own black community in Philadelphia, they are so poignant and direct, spoken at his Baptist church this past Sunday, that I am playing all of them this hour, and I'm going to repeat them next hour for other listeners. I normally don't do that, but I just want us to hear from Mayor Nutter. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884 to weigh in online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Okay, clip number three. He really gets to it here.
Take those doggone hoodies down, especially in the summer. Pull your pants up and buy a belt, because no one wants to see your underwear or the back of your butt. Nobody. If you walk in somebody's office with your hair uncombed and the pick in the back and your shoes untied and your pants half down, tattoos up and down your arm, on your face, on your neck, and you wonder why somebody won't hire you, they don't hire you because you look like you're crazy.
Oh, my. I mean, I'm sitting here smiling broadly only because he said what he said, but God bless him for saying what he said. And in my view, for using his position as mayor of Philadelphia to do that in a church setting. No contradiction of church and state there, as far as I'm concerned. And it's exactly what a political leader should be doing, as far as I'm concerned. And later in the day, we'll get to hear from our listeners in Philadelphia. They get another part of their broadcast. So I'm eager to hear their take on this. Okay, to the phones, John in Warrenton, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Well, I think that the one of the previous gentlemen was rather well-spoken when he pointed out that racism is largely a construction of Marxism. And when you look at the source of rising race tensions in America, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that racism is institutionalized by government. Like, they promote the separation, segregation, and distinction of people by race whenever they do things like having Black History Month, which I think there's a great clip up on YouTube. You can look up Morgan Freeman and Mike Wallace, and they were discussing Black History Month. And he says he doesn't want one because it really just separates people on a basis. He says, I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman. We should stop looking at this whole thing as black and white or anything like that. I think it all comes down from government.
Got it. All right. So in your mind, though, why would tensions be rising now? What do you think is, if they've been there, we've got these issues, why would they be rising now?
Because the media and politicians fuel this notion of racism to get people to fight each other and distract them from the real problems that are coming from higher up.
Got it. All right. That would be a very consistent way of thinking there. I appreciate it very much. Thanks, sir. 866-34-TRUTH. Joe in Washington, D.C., what's your take?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. I don't think that racial tensions are actually any higher than they always been in this country. Speaking for myself, I heard a lot of great comments coming in because it's a very complicated issue.
Mm-hmm.
My background, I grew up in a city that was very, very ethnically diverse. I have friends of all ethnic backgrounds, religious backgrounds. A 25-year career in the military where we had to get along and we had to learn about each other. So I believe that we all have a different perspective on how we view each other. And like you said before, you've been blessed with the opportunity to be around people of other ethnicities to understand their perception. And it comes down to to ignorance and not knowing the truth. And that goes back to the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, then you can't conduct yourself according.
Got it. So what do we I'm going to address this a bit later in the broadcast, but you've given thought to this. What would, in your mind, be ways to move forward, at least as believers?
Well, as believers, there is no I'm white, you're black. And we
that should be the case, but it's not always the reality. But it should be the case.
You're right, it's not the reality. The reality is we have to have dialect.
Yes.
And I think even as believers, we avoid that dialect, because I find that when I speak to my white brothers, I may say, or Jewish, and we speak and talk about the issues, we are more alike than we are different. The things that anger the white community about the black community, we don't like it either.
Right.
You heard the mayor of Philadelphia speaking. We don't like the same things you don't like, and vice versa.
Right.
You see, so when we have dialect, we learn that we're very much alike than we are different.
Yep, got it. Yeah, and so the dialogue, talking together, that's on the top of my list also. Listening to each other, learning from each other, not just sharing our own views. Hey, Joe, thank you for weighing in. God bless you, man. 866-34-TRUTH. John in Carmel, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air, sir.
All right. I do think the racial tensions are rising, and I think it's all about hasty generalization. And, man, I think about when I was in public high school, I had this one teacher that would say, you know, okay, if you were in a neighborhood, a white neighborhood, and black families were all moving in and it was starting to become a black neighborhood, would you stay or would you move out? And it was kind of implied, like, oh, if you would move out, then you must be racist. And you know, I felt like, oh, man, you know, what if I just want to move out because I'm afraid of reverse racism or something like that. But it was that hasty generalization that if you say that, I don't know, I'm just afraid of being called racist. I guess that's the real issue. I have this problem all the time when I'm witnessing to people where, man, if, you know, I'm a white guy, if I'm talking to a black person and I hand them a gospel tract, you know, sometimes I get, you know, why did you hand this to me, you know? And it's like, oh, it's not because I'm racist, but or if I don't hand a gospel tract, oh, hey, how come you didn't hand a gospel tract to me? And it's...
So you think the stuff is in the air either way, a lot more suspicion and things, a lot more than it needs to be.
Yeah,
interesting
yeah.
perspective. All right, hey, I'm going to run to another call, but thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it. Joe in Clifton, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I really appreciate and respect your ministry.
Well, thanks.
I just wanted to say that, you know, we obviously know that some of President Obama's policies are socialist in nature. He does have a socialist view of things. And in a socialist agenda, what they do is they do use racism as a tool against people to stay in power. And it's just a tool, another facet of the ideology that it comes across as. You know, if we're not going to get our way in the future, then we'll have to create a problem to stay in power to correct the problem. And it just may be, you know, just a lot of ignorance out there where people are thinking that, you know, America is, you know, a white or a black issue when really, you know what, we have a sin problem. It's not.
All right, let me just ask this then, Joe. Are you suggesting then that government or leadership or the president are intentionally pulling the race card, using race as an issue so as to inflame people and creating the tension? I'm not challenging that. I'm just want to make sure
right,
I understand.
Right. Yeah, no, sure. I mean, that's exactly what I believe. You know, as they play that card, because a lot of times, I mean, you know what? I have a painting company. I have black painters that work for me. I have black friends. I went to school with, you know, many different minorities. You know, and I don't play that card with anybody. I don't even have people joke about that type of nature. But if we look at some of the policies that are instituted by socialist governments, they do play a race card. So,
right. Okay. Yep. All clear. I appreciate you weighing in, Joe, very much. So, again, this is a bit of a minefield to navigate, not because we can't talk about it. I talk about it freely with my friends and colleagues from different racial, ethnic backgrounds. But sometimes we don't really hear each other. And the moment someone suggests something that we differ with, we paint it in the wrong way. We don't really hear what they're saying. So, again, I've asked for you to weigh in honestly. I've asked for you to honestly let me know what you're thinking, how you're feeling, what your point of view is. And then I'm going to do my best to sort this out with, what do I have? Four simple constructive points I want to give before the show is out. Remember, you can always continue the discussion on our website. All right, so those of you that are at your computers a lot or even listening by computer now, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and you can already weigh in before the show's over. You can start the discussion. Sometimes it gets pretty intense over there. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to get right to the phones, get in as many calls as I can in the next couple of minutes, and then give you my constructive thoughts about where we go, how we move forward with rising racial tensions here in America. 866-34-TRUTH. Kathy in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Great, thank you. Quickly, all acts of racism always increase during an economic downturn because everyone needs a scapegoat, first of all. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to comment about the mayor. Someone needs to stand up and speak the truth. He sees
the mayor
problem
of Philadelphia, just for our callers that are just listening.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
He sees a problem. All acts of stupidity, like rioting, cost money. He doesn't want to see his money torn up. He doesn't want to see tourists and other visitors not come to his city because of acts of stupidity. He should stand up. I'm just sorry that it was only in a church. His message should be taken onto the street. A politician or a leader, he's a leader, needs to step in if parents step out. They're not doing their job. Someone has to call them to be responsible and accountable.
Yeah, and by the way, his comments have made it to the street for sure. They're getting blasted all over. But that's a great comment, concisely said, that if the one party steps out, the parents step out, someone else has to step in and call them in. Hey, thank you for the clear comments and a good little play on words. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sure. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Ross in Houston, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello? All right, Ross, we lost Ross. Let's keep it in use. Let's keep it in Texas, at least. Bill in Liberty, Texas. Lost Bill. What's happening to our Texas? We'll still keep it in Texas. Alicia in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
I'm like your first caller. I believe that from a historical perspective, the economics does play a big major part in racism and the rise in racism, in that most of the time, those that are of color are the first laid off and the first who are terminated. But my second point that I am looking at, especially from an African-American perspective, I see that the way in which African-Americans see President Obama being treated by, you know, media, by certain political officials, and they feel like because President Obama is an African-American male, that they would not have done that with, say, for example, President Bush or Clinton or anyone like that.
Can I just ask something just
sure.
real honestly, Alicia?
Sure.
We talk plainly with each other. I think the media was a million times harder on Bush. And when people said, you know, hang Bush or call them a Nazi, that the media just chimed in on it. And, you know, perhaps we're talking about different segments of the media. I don't know.
Exactly.
You know, maybe
actually,
if you're listening to conservative talk radio, they're bashing Obama, but they also bash Clinton. And then the liberal media,
absolutely,
they're bashing Bush. So, I mean, maybe we have to define which media, huh?
And I should say, let's take it out of the media. When an African-American hears someone, and I think it was, I don't know who it was that said, that little boy called president, and I think that he at that time was running for the office. But the point, little boy, that little boy with his finger on the button, I remember that comment very clearly. And it's been other things that I believe one time he, you know, president was just called a liar in the Congress in a meeting. And everyone said that wouldn't have happened. If everyone wouldn't have said that wouldn't have happened, then I would have thought that was the normal course of business.
Yeah.
And maybe that happens in Congress. But since, you know, and I'm not there.
Yeah, I mean, someone yelled out liar as he was speaking, and that was something that had not happened before. But, hey, let me just say this, because I've got to run and mm-hmm. give my own constructive points. I think the thing that's so important, Alicia, is that as we talk to each other, we gain perspective. We see the world through one another's eyes. And in doing so, can then get a fuller perspective, because I see as fully as I can, but I'm still limited. You see as fully as you can, you're still limited. And as we look, when we talk to each other, then we can put things together more importantly, which is one of the first points I want to make. But thank you for weighing in. I appreciate
it. And I was going to say the third thing that I have wrote was just, this is bottom line, a hardness of people's heart. And
yes.
The Bible talks about that. And so,
yeah, absolutely. So it's going to surface in 1,000 different ways. You're right.
Exactly.
Thanks for getting your last point in. I appreciate it. All right. Let me just share with you four things that I wrote down here. Okay. Number one, we as believers need to talk to each other and listen to each other. I trust me, I've heard white perspectives, black perspectives, Hispanic perspectives, Asian perspectives. As I travel around the world, I hear different perspectives. And it is important that we listen to each other and try to see through one another's eyes and then make an evaluation of what we believe and what is right and what is wrong. It's all too easy to stay within our own camps and pat ourselves on the back and give each other high fives and point at others. That's number one. Number two, I want to urge everyone not to play the race card. When George Bush was attacked, he wasn't attacked because he was white. He wasn't attacked because he was male. He was attacked over his particular views. When Mr. Obama is attacked the same way that, say, Mr. Clinton was attacked, it's not because of his race. It's because of his views. It's because of his policies. The more the race card is played, the less we'll be able to look at the actual issues. I know some differ and say, no, it's a matter of race. Hey, I'm differing there and saying it's not race. And to play the race card is to avoid the issues that we need to focus on, regardless of what they are. Third point, let everyone take responsibility for their own mess. Let everybody take responsibility for their own neighborhood. Let everybody take responsibility for their own group, okay? To whatever extent you identify with a particular group, a Christian group, an ethnic group, a particular part of the country, a denomination, take responsibility for your own people and the sins within your own camp, the sins within my own camp, rather than expecting somebody else to do it for you or for me, all right? And then last, let's major on the majors and put God first and family first and economy after God first and family first and other things after God first and family first if we really want to get to the root of our problems. Okay, remember the special resource offer this week, 15 hours of teaching on prophets and prophetic ministry. If we ever needed to understand the heart of the prophets and how God speaks to his people today, today is a great day to know. Very significant, life-changing teaching on one CD for your computer MP3 player. You can get it by calling 1-800-278-9978. We've reduced the price, and we're sending it out postage paid. 1-800-278-9978 for the teaching series on prophets and prophetic ministry. My bottom line today, yes, it is a time of shaking, and during times of shaking, all kinds of problems will surface, one of which is racial tension. We, as the followers of Jesus, must lead the example of working together, of being constructive, of finding a solution, of listening, of learning, and of pointing to a better way. We're going to open up a can of worms today here on the Line of Fire, but hey, somebody's got to talk about it. Are racial tensions rising in America today? If so, why? And what can we do about it?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Around the world, all kinds of shaking is taking place. Right? You don't need to be a rocket scientist to know that. We've had the riots, the revolutions, really, the overthrowing of governments in the Muslim world. We have had riots in countries like Greece over the economy. Now riots in London, even threatening the 2012 Olympic Games being held there, and tensions rise in police in unprecedented fashion, having to hit the streets. There are protests in Israel, massive protests, 250,000 people over housing issues and family, the cost of living for families. And here in America, we are now seeing the tensions rising in a number of different ways. We're seeing riots in the inner city to the point that the mayor of Philadelphia went to the church pulpit of his Baptist church this past Sunday to address that in very strong and clear language that we'll play for you later in the show. And also more and more reports of race-related violence, okay? Race-related violence. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 online. AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Race-related violence. What do I mean? Well, there was a fair, where was it? In Washington State, and suddenly rioters start attacking, in this case, blacks, start attacking whites. People said it was absolutely racial. And this is not like, say, in London, where you've got a mainly black area, and white police, presumably white police, shoot a black man, and they said there was no reason for him to be shot or shot to death. And so there have been riots. And, well, the racial implications of that are obvious. Why this broke out at a fair here in America, not obvious. And then in Mississippi, people thought the days of this were over. Some white teenagers just drive in to find a black man to abuse and beat a man severely and then run him over and kill him and laugh about it. To me, it seems that tensions are rising. The question is why. The question is what can we do about it? So I want to hear from you on a few levels. I want to hear from you to see if you agree with me. Also, we're going to talk a little later in the program when our Philadelphia listeners join us. We're going to talk in particular about the mayor of Philadelphia, what he had to say, if you think it was a good thing that he went to the pulpit of a church and addressed some of these larger social issues. Are racial tensions rising? What can we do about it? Why is this happening? 866-34-TRUTH. I'm actually carrying out the same conversation I had the first hour with different listeners in different parts of America. I'm going to continue it now because I think it's that relevant. And I know there are issues that with our first black president, is that bringing healing of racial tension or is it exacerbating racial tension? Are things better or are things worse? In my view, racial tensions in America are worse since Mr. Obama has been president. Is that because whites are upset that there's a black man as president? Personally, I say no. Not for the vast majority, because there's a whole lot of whites that voted for Mr. Obama to be president. Otherwise, he wouldn't be president. And a whole lot of white liberals that share his values. Is it because the race card is being played when we're having a lot of economic collapse and people are playing the race card as if any criticism of the president is racially based and that exacerbates racial issues? Or is it completely unrelated to race? It's just a matter of the economy is in shambles, tensions rising in America. It's hot. I don't think we mentioned the heat in the last hour. It's hot. And because of that, a lot of stuff rises to the surface, including racial tensions, including rioting. Let's hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, yeah, I've got a lot on my mind, too.
Flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, for me, the issue of racial tension, the issue of racial conflict is something we have to talk about, have to bring to the surface, and interact with each other honestly, candidly, as believers, and learn from each other. Because as much as I try to listen and learn, I still have my own perspective. It may be limited. I may have a blind spot. You may have a blind spot. You may emphasize one part of Scripture and miss another. I may emphasize that other part of Scripture and miss yours. As we talk together, that's why you have husbands and wives coming together as one. That's why you have family units. That's why you have the body of Messiah, the body of Christ, as many yet one, because we each have a role to play. We each have a part to play. We each have a unique perspective. And I don't just want to tell someone they're wrong. I mean, in some cases I do, just like you do. Come on, be honest. But what it is for me is I want to find out why we differ. I want to find out why we can't see eye to eye on a particular thing. And maybe I can convince you. Maybe you can convince me. At the least, we can enlighten each other. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Are racial tensions rising? If so, why? I'll give you my constructive thoughts as to what we can do later in the broadcast. Let's start with Lonica in Houston. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Brown, for putting this question forth. I'm very happy to comment on it. I'm actually a chief diversity officer in higher education here in Texas, and I actually monitor this question for a living. But beyond my organization that I'm employed with, I'd like to comment on the nation and your question, is racial tension on the rise? And I'd have to answer negatively that it is not, especially if you compare it to the pre-Civil Rights era, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and you compare that era to the 21st century, obviously there is no comparison. We don't have people hanging from trees and churches being burned and murders being committed and not prosecuted and all-white juries, you know, and those kinds of things that we, you know, we can't forget about. But if we compare what we're living with today with what we lived with then, there is no rise in racial tension. I do believe, however, that there is some cross-cultural awareness that is going on, where we are starting to become more aware of other cultures, not necessarily, but maybe related to race. Obama is biracial. And how many times do you hear people say, the first black president, the first black president? Well, they said that about Clinton, too. But, you know,
right, he is biracial.
His mother's white and his father was African. So he is
right.
Biracial.
We almost never hear that. But, hey, just two quick questions for you, Lonica. One, I fully understand the pre-civil rights contrast to today, of course. But even in recent years, you're saying you don't believe that tensions are rising. Just want to be clear on that. That's what you're saying, even within recent years, you don't see that?
No, sir. In fact, what's happening is that the media is now becoming more interested in what is going on. That comment that was made in the church pulpit, those comments have been made for decades. Media never picked it up. That's why it's controversial today. It's not that it wasn't said before. It's always been said.
All right. Then the other question, as chief diversity officer, how much comes under your eye in terms of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender issues? How much is that now an issue of, quote, diversity?
Oh, it's equal. It's equal to race, gender, national origin, religious beliefs. It's equal. It's, even though, you know, the courts, I'm also a labor and employment law attorney, the courts have not recognized it as a protected class. But in terms of certain companies and, you know, the academy, the Higher Education Academy, we we protect those interests just like we protect all the other protective classes that the Supreme Court has recognized as protected.
All right, and then how do you personally feel about equating something which is ultimately a desire or a romantic attraction or a behavior or a self-identification with something like ethnicity or gender?
You know, I am a Christian, and as a chief diversity officer, I often find myself in a dilemma when it comes to that question and how you posed it. I do not, and this is the only way I can reconcile what I do for a living and my walk with God, that I do not believe that it is a choice. I do believe that there are some biological things that are going on with people who are born with some chromosome deformity, and I hope that doesn't offend anyone.
If that wasn't the case, if in fact, forget it being a choice, but if it wasn't biological, okay, if it's something that develops over the course of someone's childhood or experiences that they have, would that trouble you even more then as far as how this is categorized? Because you may not want to read my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, if you're walking a fine line here already. But tell you what, I want to get to some other callers, but thank you for weighing in from your perspective. That carries a lot of...
Dr. Brown, I just have to, I have much respect, but I have to take exception to your comment that we need to look out for our own group, whatever ethnic group you identify with.
Well, I said we have to take responsibility.
Am I my brother's keeper is what I keep.
No. Oh, okay. Well,
who is my brother?
Thanks for saying that, because if someone else understood me to be saying that, I meant the opposite. I meant I have to take responsibility for my own and not expect somebody else to care for me. In other words, I can't just point a finger, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you're doing that wrong, and have the victim mentality, because we'll never get anywhere. I have to take responsibility for the mess in my own life, the mess in my own family, the mess in my own community, the mess in my own group, the mess in my own denomination. Of course I care for others. Of course I care for others.
You can't oppress the people for 200 years and expect there to be economic equality. And not.
But who's talking? I'm not talking about economic equality. I'm talking about, but here's the whole thing that's so fascinating, okay? I'm talking about I've got to take responsibility for junk in my own camp, and now somehow you're making this an accusation against the Black Americans or something. I mean, that's weird. That's very strange.
So
I'm talking about...
We're taking responsibility for our own neighborhoods. Those neighborhoods that you and I, probably don't live in, the poor Black communities, and I'm African-American, but I've never lived in a poor Black community. I'm a middle-class African-American. Yes, take responsibility for what's happening in those neighborhoods, because I realize that these are vestiges of slavery and vestiges of discrimination in this country in terms of economic oppression. And I can't all of a sudden feel like I take no responsibility for that.
But you're still mishearing me. No one said don't take responsibility for others. I said, first, take responsibility for yourself and don't look for someone else to solve your problem. That, unfortunately, right, that's the whole point I'm trying to make. And that's part of the problem. And look, there are poor white neighborhoods and poor Hispanic neighborhoods as well. So the point is, as long as someone has the idea that somebody else has to help me out of my mess and it's their responsibility, we'll never get anywhere. To the extent that we start in our own community and take responsibility like the mayor of Philadelphia did, and then whatever junk there is in the white community, whatever we're doing wrong, or the Hispanic community or Asian, if we each take responsibility for what we're doing wrong, we will help each other. Hey, but Lonica, this is why we talk, to learn from each other and interact. Thank you so much again for the call and weighing in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Hey, I know, equal time. I know I haven't given that much time to any other caller in the first hour, or obviously don't have time to give that much time to everyone, but please trust me as your beloved radio host to know when it's time to stay on a little bit longer with someone. Fair enough? 866-34-TRUTH. Let me make my first point about Constructive Way Forward. And James and Charlotte, you're up next, so callers, hang in there. 866-348-7884. The first thing we have to do is just evidenced by that call is to talk to each other, because for a little while we were talking past each other and then found that we were in agreement. When I said that we have to start by taking responsibility for ourselves, now she was listening from the last hour, so she heard me make that statement in the last hour, in case you're wondering, because you didn't hear me make that yet. I was not saying that we don't care about others. I'm not saying love your neighbor as yourself doesn't apply. No, no. My point was, don't look for somebody else on the outside to solve your problem or fix your mess, whoever you are, whatever your situation. Got it? All right, more to come.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Before I go to the phones, let me read some comments that have been sent in by some of our listeners regarding race relations, regarding rising racial tension in America, which I believe is there, all with all respect to my previous caller from Houston, who does this for a living, monitors these things, and has a different perspective. But again, we're each sharing our perspective. Ray Jean says, we do live in a sinful climate, and I feel all sins are at a high level, including racism. I feel the church has race problems. I do not recognize people as individuals, but as racial groups. I attend a predominantly white church, and I love them, but they don't always treat me in a normal way. I'm assuming Ray Jean is not white, just as a human being. So I sometimes attend black churches where I feel like I'm treated as a person, not as a special case to be prayed for. God created only one species on this earth, and that's humans. Thank you, Ray Jean, for weighing in, and sorry that you've encountered those kinds of issues. I'm sure you're not alone. This is, not sure of the name, Americans are suffering monetarily and are not happy with the way the government is abusing our money. I'm an African-American woman who is sick of the idea that we as a people have been conditioned to believe that the U.S. owes us something. Other cultures think we all believe that. Not true. We have fought and overcome many obstacles in my lifetime. I am 52 and achieved much. Unfortunately, at the same time, many of us have taken these victories and done nothing with them. It reminds me of people who fight for freedom and don't know what to do with it when they get it. By the way, just to jump in, that has really been a question to me in terms of so much that the last generation fought for in terms of civil rights, in terms of freedoms, in terms of recognition, peoplehood, to the point that we have a black American president, and yet at the same time further breakdown of the family in the black American communities. That's always grieved me and troubled me, and I wonder what solutions there are to move forward. Again, this email, many of us have taken advantage of the social systems that were set up to help us and sat. Just look at the welfare system, a total disaster. I resent my tax dollars going to Planned Parenthood to pay for abortions, which I'm against. It angers me to know African Americans lead the country in abortions. Look at the crime rate in our communities. I don't understand why we hate each other so much. Is it any wonder that others hate us too? Others see these negative things and are not happy either. We are bombarded daily with negative statistics by the media. In a world where negative views regarding African Americans have not changed in most people's minds, these things I mentioned are amplifying those feelings. Some are also using these issues to defend their anger with our black president. I did not vote for Mr. Obama because we have very different moral views, but I respect him and pray for him because he is my president. As a Christian, I will not support anyone who shares his views, and I don't understand how any Christian can. I don't support abortion, homosexual behavior, gay marriage, or anything else immoral in the eyes of God. When my friends talk about these things, I remind them that people voted for the people who support these things and which political party they are affiliated with. When I express these views to African-American Christians, they tell me I sound like a Republican. I state that I'm just relaying what I feel. I'm then told that I have to take the bad with the good. I don't think so. We are going through a difficult time in this world, and I choose to look to Christ for my help. Christians are not doing their jobs. Everyone talks about us being in the end times, but they all think about it as the economy. All they think about is the economy. God is telling America to turn back to him, and people, including Christians, are not listening. What we are seeing now is just the beginning, and it will get worse for those who don't believe. I will continue to pray. Hey, I don't often read an entire email on the air, but I thought that one was worth reading. Thank you for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. James in Charlotte, what's your take, sir?
Hi, good afternoon. This is a wonderful topic, and thanks for having the show on.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. One of the challenges with having discussions about race is that discussion often gets muddied when issues of class, heterosexism, abortion, et cetera, kind of get brought in. So I'll try to stay on the topic of race, as difficult as it is sometimes. The comment from the previous caller regarding taking care of one's own community, I certainly understand that, but it kind of rings hollow in the sense that during Reconstruction and in the early 1900s, where blacks took the initiative to establish communities with their own economy and et cetera, it gets to a certain point where the whites were like, hey, this is not cool. We got to take care of this. And they would move in, burn the place down, and then call it a riot, you know. So there have been initiatives by African-Americans that have been snuffed out by the white community. Now, post-civil rights, there has not been any, I guess on a grand scale, any proactive initiatives to find out how we can be united as a nation and as a world across racial lines. You know, I mean, what binds us together?
Mm-hmm.
For me, racism is essentially a disease of the spirit.
Yes.
Racism is a spiritual disease. You know, now.
So, hey, James, let me just jump in and ask one thing for clarification, though.
Jump in.
My concern is when any group, an individual, a group, a family, an organization, mm-hmm. when they have a victim mentality. Look, I'm Jewish, and you know we should be the same number of people in the world as the Chinese and the Indians. We should be over a billion people, and yet we're 13, 14 million, okay?
Sure.
But whenever we have the victim mentality and feel it's someone else's responsibility to fix my situation or to provide for my needs, we never grow. Now, here's the thing. If someone has been victimizing and they take responsibility for their own sin, then they'll stop victimizing. So if I am failing to do what's right, say as a white man for my black neighbor, then that's part of what I have to fix. At the same time, if I'm waiting for my black neighbor to fix my world, let's just turn the then it'll never be helped. So I'm absolutely saying we have a responsibility one towards each other, but it starts by taking responsibility for where I am today rather than looking for someone else to do it for me. That's the point I've been trying to make.
I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, I'm responsible for my own soul. And for how I act or react to a situation, you know, where racial tensions are involved. But I cannot ignore the fact that hate group membership has risen dramatically since President Obama came into office.
And let me just say this last thing, James, and thank you so much for sharing your heart honestly and dialoguing with me as a fellow Charlotte resident. I got a break coming in. That's why I just have to jump in. Let me just say this. My concern with Mr. Obama being elected, and I said it right from the outset, was if he turned out to not be a good president, and there was so much emphasis being put on he's our first black president, then rather that bringing a healing of racial tension, it would only exacerbate it because any criticism of him would be perceived as racial, and things would go back and forth and heat up. So I think, in a sense, It has nothing to do with. Let's just say this: if America was in the best shape it had ever been in under Mr. Obama, we were thriving economically, we were thriving in national security, we were thriving morally. I think you would have whites all over America cheering him on and saying, "Well done." But when things go south, then a lot of junk on all sides comes to the surface. Hey, we'll keep talking. Thanks for the call. We got some clips to play for you. Oh, yeah, we're going to play the audio clips of the mayor of Philadelphia when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. We are going to continue to open up a can of worms, and it's a can that we must open up and talk about. And I'm going to get very specific as we are joined with many listeners from Philadelphia now. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready? We're talking about rising racial tensions. I see it just as we're having rioting all over the world and revolts all over the world and tensions rising all over the world, a lot of it relating to economy, a lot of it relating to other situations in the society. I'm also seeing, from my perspective, rising racial tensions. And I'm seeing black-on-white violence. I'm seeing white-on-black violence. Yes, it's being reported by the media, but I believe it's out there. I'm seeing increasing distrust, things that, in my view, have gotten worse since Mr. Obama's been president, not better, for whatever reason. Okay, we'll talk about that another moment. But within inner-city riots, which are not race-related as much as just inner-city-related, one leader has gotten up and addressed this, Mayor Nutter of Philadelphia, who is a friend of the president, of Mr. Obama, and he addressed things in his Baptist church this past Sunday. Now, it's always fascinating to me that when a white Republican speaks in a church or has a prayer rally or something, everyone says, separation of church and state. When a black Democrat speaks in a church or a prayer rally, no one says that. Just find that interesting. Just an observation. So I am very pleased that the mayor stood up and said what he said, okay? And I want us to hear some of these clips. And if you're in Philly, I want to get your take as to if you're pleased with what the mayor said and did. And then how do we fix some of these larger issues? I've got some ideas on some of the larger racial tension issues. 866-34-TRUTH. Clip number one.
The Immaculate Conception of our Lord Jesus Christ took place a long time ago, and it didn't happen here in Philadelphia. So every one of these kids has two parents who were around and participating at the time. They need to be around now.
All right, so his first point, your kid was not created out of thin air. The kid out there had a mom and a dad. That mom and dad were involved in his conception. They need to be involved in his life. That's a big, tall order when you've got lots of breakdown in the family to start. All right, his second point, speaking directly to the parents.
Parents who neglect their children, who don't know where they are, don't know what they're doing, don't know who they're hanging out with, you're going to find yourself spending some quality time with your kids in jail. If you're just hanging out there, maybe you're sending a check or bringing some cash by. That's not being a father. You're just a human ATM. You're just an ATM. And if you're not providing the guidance and you're not sending any money, you're just a sperm donor.
Okay. Very, very strong words from the mayor. I, for one, am pleased that he stood up and said what he said. And then lastly, he addresses the young people quite directly.
Take those doggone hoodies down, especially in the summer. Pull your pants up and buy a belt, because no one wants to see your underwear or the back of your butt. Nobody. If you walk in somebody's office with your hair uncombed and a pick in the back and your shoes untied and your pants half down, tattoos up and down your arm, on your face, on your neck, and you wonder why somebody won't hire you, they don't hire you because you look like you're crazy.
All right. Our phone lines are not, well, they're almost jammed, but we can get our first callers in from Philly. So those living in Philly, how do you feel about what the mayor did in a church service on a Sunday? News conference to address these issues as well. How do you feel about it? Is that the role of a mayor? Is that what he should be doing? And what about the larger issue of rising racial tension in America? Back with your calls.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us as we discuss the issue of rising racial tensions in America. Are they really rising? Is it just the way the media is reporting things? Is it just hot summer and bad economy? Are there other issues going on? And what about the mayor of Philadelphia addressing within his own city, not so much racial issues, but family breakdown issues that have been there, but just spilling over in the form of riots on the streets? 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, just a reminder again for our friends in the greater Charlotte area, our night classes at Fire School of Ministry start August 23rd with my 8-week class on principles and revival. That's August 23rd. Go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Click on Fire School of Ministry. Sorry, let's just have it there. And please be joining us in prayer and fasting these days leading up to August 27th, the God Has a Better Way rally as we take the gospel into the midst of the Gay Pride event in Charlotte. Kevin in Philly, what's your take, sir?
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'd like to make a comment because I know you have a short amount of time, so I would like to get my comment across, and then I would like to hear you address it after I'm done. I'm only going to take 30 seconds. Listen, first of all, I agree with the mayor for making that comment because it's a long overdue statement that needs to be made. And yes, it is a part of his job because he's the mayor of the city, and that covers a whole lot of grounds. And there's some shaky parts where he might not pull the intervene with, but that was good.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with him with that. Now, as far as the racial tension going on, I don't mean to sound harsh. I listen to your show sometime. But when it's dealing with the African-American, it seems like the white media are very keen on addressing it and following up with that issue. But when it's dealing with white America, it seems like they sweep it under the rug. They don't really talk about it. Now, there's a lot of racial tension going on, but you said that it's blacks against whites and whites against blacks. I don't hear no cases where blacks are attacking whites nowhere in the country. I only hear whites attacking blacks, like this recent one where the teenagers killed this man and beat him up and ran him over with the car.
Yep.
And here they want to just, they only want to persecute two of the kids, but when the African-American kids do a crime and it's a whole bunch of them, they want to persecute the whole crew, which is right. They all get charged. But when the white do it, they only want to try to charge one or two and try to save the crew. I don't see the disproportion of racism is only on white people's side. And guess what? I am not racist. I love my white brothers.
Got it.
I have to tell the truth. You don't see no white, no black on white racial things going on. If you do, tell me about them, because I haven't heard any. But you always hear about blacks getting called different derogatory names, just like they do the president, and also attacking blacks. And all we have to do, we keep praying about it, trying to use nonviolence about it, but the media sweep it under the rug. But let a black do something or a group rise up, they'll use the Black Panther sentiment or some other sentiment, and you'll hear it on the news all day long.
Yeah, all right. That's, hey, Kevin, thanks for weighing in. So let me give you my response, okay? First, I started the broadcast. I mentioned, not the half hour you turned in, but right at the outset, I mentioned the case in Mississippi as white on black violence. So I used that example myself at the beginning of the broadcast.
Excuse me? I know you did.
Okay, got it. And then I happened to mention, I said I thought it was Washington. It's actually Wisconsin State Fair. There were riots there of blacks attacking whites, pulling whites out of the car and beating them. And they were passing the black car. So I'm seeing it happen both ways. And my whole show has been about happening both ways. Now, are there issues of justice in our system still? Could well be. I'm absolutely not expert on it, and it could well be. Are there still situations where white kids or white adults are going to get off and black kids or black adults are going to be charged? Could well be. I'm not expert on it. And I don't pretend to be expert on it.
Come on.
So I'm trying to raise. So
but I'm
just trying
to be an expert on it. Come on, let's look. We see the news. We see what's going on. I know you're not an expert on it. I'm not an expert on it. But when you look at it on the news 24/7, you see these incidents. You don't have to be an expert on anything. You're not an expert on anything else you're talking about, but you're going by what the media shows, what the proof shows.
Oh, no, no, Kevin, I try to address
shows.
I try to address areas where I am expert.
It. You're downplaying it, though.
But Kevin, hang on. I've done hundreds of radio shows, okay? And this is one of the first ones that I've done specifically saying, let's talk about race issues, and I want to hear from both sides.
Okay.
So how am I mean, if you're really listening to me, how am I bypassing anything, relying on the media? I'm asking, what do you folks think listening? Do you think racial tensions are rising, and why?
Right.
So I'm asking a question, you know,
right.
And maybe you're just viewing me through certain eyes because you're thinking of me as I'm typical white media guy here or there.
Yeah, I don't look at you like that.
Okay, well, good. So let's keep listening and talk this through. See, I'm asking for your perspective, which you've given.
Right.
I
hear you. I understand what you're saying. But I need people to be honest. Listen, this is the problem. When whites do something wrong, other whites are afraid to adjust it because they get the remarks from their counterparts calling them names such as N-lover, which I won't use that word, and they get harassed by their own people. Just like in Congress. Listen, the Republicans will want to vote with Obama with some things, but they can't. You remember what happened when they voted the health bill in? You remember how they snapped
But that's not because of it. But hang on, but Kevin.
I'm just using an example. I
know
I know.
But hang on. Hang on, Kevin.
I'm just using
just
an example.
I want to get to my other callers also, and if you remember.
All right. I understand.
Yeah.
I figured
that's all right. I know these are important issues, though, which is why
they're scared to address it because they
Here. Let me get my point across, Kevin. Hang on. Let me get my point across. This has nothing to do with race. It has to do with policy, because when Democrats were going with Bush, it's the same thing. When Republicans were going with Clinton, it's the same thing. It has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with politics, and it has everything to do with policy.
No. See,
listen, it's white voters that put Mr. Obama in. It's white voters that put when Mr. Obama, got to listen to me, Kevin, must listen. I've been listening to you. Now you need to listen to me, okay? When Mr. Obama was elected, he had massively high approval ratings in the white community. And whites voted for him. Tens of millions of whites voted for him, or he wouldn't be in office. It was when his policies failed, okay, that people got upset. It has nothing to do with race. For some, it does. But don't tell me that people that voted for him, that many blacks that voted for him didn't vote because of race. Come on, let's not make it like race only goes one way. We got to listen to each other. That's the problem. We're not listening to each other. But thank you for the call, for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael in Eden, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Michael Brown, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I think that racial tension is definitely on the rise. I remember in 2008, when Obama, right before Obama, right after Obama was elected, they said that a lot of these hate groups were on the rise again. And I will remind you that the hate groups, not only do they hate blacks, they hate Jews, they hate Catholics, they hate anybody who's not a white Protestant. So that's
oh, yeah, and Michael, let me just jump in before you get back to your point. I have no question, and Kevin and Philly, I hope you're still listening, that hate groups, that like white supremacist groups, of course they're outraged that there is a black president. Of course, hateful people are still hateful. And there's some, if you had a Jewish president, that would be flipping out, or a Catholic president would be flipping out. So there's no question that hateful groups are going to rise to the surface more. The question is it happening on a larger level? But back to you, Michael, please.
I do think that it's happening on a larger level. I see, and one of the points when, and I actually voted for Obama. I guess I'm one of the whites who you were talking about, and now I do not support Obama anymore. I'm not going to vote for Obama in 2012, and it's not because he's half black. It's because his policies simply have not worked. He promised the world, and I don't think there's any way he could have come through with all the things that he said he was going to do. But I bought into it, and so did a lot of us. And now I said, okay, we gave the guy. It's been two, 3 years now, almost 4 years, and his policies simply aren't working.
and I'm not going to vote for him again. Now, the problem is that what Rudy Giuliani said in the 2008 elections, they kept saying, well, do you think that race is going to be a factor in this? Do you think race is going to be a factor? And Giuliani said, yes. He says, I think it's going to be a factor on both sides. He said, I think there may be some whites who may not vote for Obama because he's half black. He says, but at the same time, there's going to be many blacks who vote for Obama just because he's half black. And there were many African-Americans who voted for the President Obama who never voted before in their whole lifetimes. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. I think it's great. I think everybody should vote. But at the same time, I think we should vote for the person,
right?
Not for the race.
Right. If I have no problem if someone says, I agree with both candidates, but I think it would be great to have someone of my own race in the White House and leading the way and setting an example, that's fine. But if you disagree with the policy, then you have to evaluate the other issues. All right, thanks for the call. Back with more. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. I knew that we'd be on some level navigating through a minefield here, but the key thing is that we keep listening to each other, and as we listen to each other, we can learn from each other. Before the show is over, I am going to give you some of my perspective in terms of what we can do constructively to move forward in terms of the issue of rising racial tensions here in America. And please understand, I'm not pointing a finger in any direction except saying, what can we do as God's people to move forward with this issue? Okay, Elwin in Fairfield, California, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, how are you doing, Dr. Brown? I agree that there is a rise that's going on right now, and the reason why I say that, I'm 52 years old. I've lived in California majority of my life. I've served in the U.S. Air Force. I am a minister. I've raised my children, and I sent my oldest son to one of the Christian schools out here in California. And just recently, around 2004, and he was 98% of the school was white. The rest of the percentage was all ethnic. And the first day of school, the first day of school when we dropped him off, they stuck him in a class. In a dorm with a gentleman that was a racist. And they told me that they would deal with it if a matter like this would happen. Mm. You know, they would deal with it as it come. Well, right then, before my wife left, we were praying, but we knew the outcome because I addressed him. I said, "Hey, has this kid been, you know, restored? Has he gone through some healing process, or you know, because dealing with another race, you know, I could understand he received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but yet, you know, there may be some issues still there," which later on it did rise, which I did have to face, and. And when I sit down, I talk to my white brothers on it. The first thing they tell me, well, you know, I'm to forgive. But it's like I listened to you, and when you were talking your Jewish issue, and you were talking about the people over in Israel, and they said, do they raise their children up to go to war and all that? Well, I feel the same way. I'm raising children that would have respect, that will turn around and be an asset to the community in which they live in. But yet I have to worry about I worry about my own race, but other races. And when I go visit outside of California, down in the southern states, you know, just the way that that environment, I have to be very careful what I say and what I do, or even how I move, because I don't feel comfortable.
So the tensions are still there, and in your view, rising. Hey, listen, keep listening, because I'm going to address things I think we can do that are constructive. But, hey, don't be discouraged from doing what's right, even if others don't, even if somehow it looks like there is clear injustice and mistreatment don't let that take the fuel out of your fire for doing what's right and raising your kids in a godly way. God only bless you for that. But keep listening, sir, and thanks for weighing in. Sean in Boulder, Colorado, we're real short on time, so dive right in, please.
I first and foremost want to say we need to get back into the Word. You know, use the Word of God to deal with these problems. We've gotten away from that. Yes, the tension is around there. I am a Black American. I'm born and raised in Connecticut, lived in New York and around. I've seen nothing compared to what my parents have seen and stuff, but still, there's stuff going around. But we need to get back into the Word. You know, what the mayor said, I agree on those cons because, yeah, we got to show the kids it's got to start in the home. When we elect somebody, president, mayor, I'll make it quick, president, mayor, governor, whoever, teachers, we need to find what they stand for, what they don't stand for. What's their track record? Are they doing what's better for the cities and states, country, or are they just doing something? That city official not too long ago in New York who came under fire for texting that young people and stuff, the young girls, you know, I heard someone on one of the sites that was for him, and they were saying, well, what's in his closet stays in his closet. And it's like, no, you look at the Word of God, you know, and what's in your, you know, the stuff that we've done, it's going to come out. It's going to come out in your society.
And, you know, Sean, the one thing that's so ironic with a lot of the family values talk is that we had our Republican candidates who were standing for family values who were divorced, some of them multiple times, and we had the Democratic candidates that were opposing many of the family values we stand for, and they hadn't been divorced. They were so, you know, it just reminds you that you got issues kind of all around. One group's pointing the finger at the other, and the other one can point the finger right back. But, Sean, thank you for weighing in, and absolutely, we've got to get back to the Word. Hey, friends, let me give you four simple points if we're going to move forward here. Number one, let's listen to each other. Look, I've had some differences with some callers, but trust me, I'm going to think about what they had to say, and I hope they think about what I have to say, because maybe I have a blind spot. Maybe they have a blind spot. So sit down with people from different perspectives. Sit down with other believers who voted differently than you do. Sit down with other believers from different ethnic backgrounds and listen to each other and see how you can enlighten each other. And then do your best, whoever you are, be it Hispanic, be it Black, white, whoever you are, don't play the race card. Try to look at the real issues. I can assure you, before God, that when I take issue with Mr. Obama, it is not because he's a Black man. It's because of the issues. Just like when I took issue with President Bush or I took issue with President Clinton, it wasn't because they were white. It wasn't because they were males. Because of issues. Don't play the race card if you want to move forward. And when there really is racism, then let's address it. But if we just play the race card, we'll never get to the solution. And then third, while we must care for one another and love our neighbors ourselves, we must first and foremost take responsibility for our own situation and not look for someone else to fix it. Whatever my mess is, whatever my problem is, to the extent I look to someone else to fix it, to the extent I look to another group, another family, another organization, or the government to fix my problem, I'll always have the victim mentality and I'll never rise above it. Now, to whatever extent I am part of someone else's problem, I have to work to fix that, okay? So we love each other. We love our neighbors ourselves. But don't look to someone else to fix your mess and whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever your race, ethnicity, don't put the solution to your problem in someone else's lap. And then lastly, yes, put God and family first. Don't put economy first. Don't put other issues first. Put God and family first. Otherwise, we're never going to get anywhere. Thanks for weighing in. Sorry I didn't get to talk to all of you that had your points of view to make, but please go to our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire to weigh in there. All right, may I remind you a very important resource we have, a real impacting life changer on prophets and prophetic ministry that'll stir your heart and cause fire to burn in your own life and give you practical teaching as well. Over 15 hours of teaching, we've reduced the price to just $15 and put it on a CD for your computer MP3 player. Call today 1-800-278-9978 to get this special resource on prophets and prophetic ministry. That's 1-800-278-9978. If you'd like to become a monthly supporter, a torchbearer, that's the number to call. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, it is a long, hot summer. Economic tensions are rising. Pressures are rising on every front, and there is demonic attack as well. Can we as God's people rise higher? Catherine Booth said, "The waters are rising, but so am I. I'm not going under, but over."